Thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody, for being here today. First, let me give you a bit of background on drug overdose deaths. I'm sure most of you here are already familiar. I've seen some of your faces in some of the other sessions, but it is the leading cause of injury death in the U.S., and prescription opioid pain reliever overdoses quadrupled from 99 to 2010, and the changes in EPI have really necessitated more drug-specific surveillance evaluation. Nevada actually has the fourth highest drug overdose mortality rate in the U.S., and it's among the states which prescribe the largest number of prescription painkillers for 10,000 people. However, the state does have some state and local initiatives to attack this problem, and locally our coroner has expressed a lot of interest in enhancing surveillance of drug overdose deaths and utilizing the data that they are currently collecting, especially around prescription drug and heroin-related deaths. We currently have two sources for drug overdose deaths. We have our vital records multiple cause mortality files. They're annual. The biggest limitations we have is the delay in cause of death coding. It can be 2, sometimes even 3 years before it gets back to us and isn't as we would like. And there's limited risk factor information. We also have the Clark County Office of Coroner Medical Examiner, now on the coroner's data. And those reports are available upon request. The biggest limitation is we don't really know the usefulness, so we didn't know the usefulness until we started working with them on this. So let me tell you a little bit about the surveillance system that we were putting together. We call it the Drug Overdose Surveillance System, or the DOS. And after analysis by somebody in this room, actually, of the poisoning deaths from 20 to 2011 showed a dramatic increase in the fatal poisonings, we decided that, you know, it's really important for us at Southern Nevada Health District to do some further investigation on drug-induced deaths. And the Clark County Office of the Coroner Medical Examiner, the coroner, investigates deaths occurring in our county for homicide, suicide, and all suspicious deaths, of course, including overdose fatalities. You might have seen our coroner's office highlighted on the Lifetime Movie Network. Not only are they larger than life, but they're also really wonderful collaborators, which I think is key in this, and they're expressed interest in the issue. So the purpose of the DOS was to understand drug overdose deaths, monitor trends in specific drugs, identify populations at high risk, and inform policy. And the system utilized coroner data to monitor cases in 2013, and this includes cases where drug overdoses was considered but not necessarily the cause of death, and those that were more traditional poisoning overdose. So the sequence of events for the system starts when a suspicious death occurs. It's then reported to our coroner, who does an investigation, and that investigation is done on scene. There's an autopsy, sometimes just a head post, but usually full autopsy, and the labs. And the general tox panel is around 80 toxins for the regular person involved. For suspected drug overdose, though, it can be over 400 different toxins. The results are documented and made available to partners. The data set contains no decedent names, but has variables on victim demographics, death circumstances, cause of death, and toxicology. And the cause of death includes the manner of death listed, so, you know, just the typical accident, suicide, homicide, or undetermined. But the important one for us was manner type, which was also included and categorizes the death as alcohol medication, alcohol drug-related medication, medication drugs, or poisoning. And this is how the information actually gets pulled into our system from their more general system. And then there's also an injury description provided that's written as free text. And the toxicology information is appended to each case. Lots of stakeholders, as you might imagine. The coroner, our DEA, the State Epidemiological Substance Abuse Work Group, the Fusion Center, and the media, and of course a lot of other stakeholders that could be anticipated but aren't actually using the data to this date. I'd like to present some of the methods and findings of our surveillance system evaluation. So we wanted to make sure that the DOS was meeting its goals. And so we wanted to be able to describe the system, its performance, how well the drug-related death surveillance captures drug overdose deaths, and to make recommendations for system improvements. The evaluation used multiple methods to evaluate the system attributes on the right. We did 6 key stakeholder interviews, and we did a descriptive analysis comparing the Nevada State Health Vital Records System's mortality files to the coroner's data. And as the system was really in its infancy, it was really is a formative evaluation at this point. In terms of usefulness, The coroner themselves don't actually utilize the data for their own internal purposes. However, they provide drug-related death to several partners within and outside of our county, primarily for surveillance and monitoring. And the substances reported in the system themselves, the toxicology, were the most useful things described in this system. And one informant underscored the uniqueness of the data set as relatively unbiased source in comparison to hospital records, and also unique in the state in terms of its comprehensiveness. While those who use the data cited as valuable, there were several changes warranted and recommendations to make it more precise and robust. While the data is pretty good at running queries on individual cases at this point, it's really difficult to do population-based analyses, and this is because of all the different possibilities for free text. And so when you, for example, the cause of death variable, whether methadone was involved in a death is really difficult to find out for any kind of systematic, you have to query each case for that. Another major weakness in the system is its ability to identify heroin overdoses. ME often writes opiate, and there's a lot of multi-drug toxicity written instead of the specific substances identified. The DOS does use existing data collection and infrastructure and is dictated by state. We feel that it uses a lot of the best practices, but the free text variables are the most problematic. And it is a pretty flexible system, and the coroner is actually interested in revitalizing their system and revamping it within the next 2 years, so this is an opportunity for us to make improvements. Every case is proofed and approved by the medical examiner, so there's high data quality. Although there are a large number of people using the system, only two variables, though, had any kind of missing values on them, and only four cases in general or at all. So pretty high data quality, we thought, but some variability, especially within the free text, as I've mentioned. We think that the lack of a data dictionary and non-specific operational definitions is the biggest driver of this problem. Each case that's accepted by the coroner is closed, so there's high acceptability, and it is mandated by statute to have the system in place. And the CCOCME has high interest in substance abuse prevention, so we think it's a pretty sustainable system. The death certification, it does have 24 hours, but just for a small proportion of the cases. The toxicology tends to take 68 weeks to get reported, and so the timeliness of this there's no real-time reporting for this right now. However, in comparison, the vital statistics can take up to 3 years, so we do feel that the system is much more timely than that. And you can get monthly, quarterly, or annual information as needed. In 2013, 80% of the deaths in our county were reported to the Clark County Medical Examiner, and so we do feel that overdose deaths are rarely missed within the system. And toxicology is actually run on most of the decedents, not just people that are suspected for substance use overdose. And even in cases where there's sometimes some follow-back investigations if they were to make it to the mortuary instead of coming to the coroner's office directly. But in order to better understand how well the system performed, I wanted to compare it to our vital statistics mortality files, which is our gold standard for 2013. The mortality files are coded using the ICD-10 codes, a standard diagnostic tool, and we had 398 vital records that were listed as drug poisonings, and we had 534 cases within our coroner's data set that were listed as drug overdose, and there were 375 that overlapped. So the DOS does do a good job of capturing true positives. We had a 94% sensitivity. However, and there were only 23 cases in the vital records in our gold standard that were not in the DOS. When I reviewed these, we had six of those cases coded as toxicology, and five cases of suffocation or asphyxiation. Four cases weren't in the database at all, three were unknown, and one just had a mistyped birth date. Upon further, however, the DOS does only a fair job of picking up true positives or actual cases of drug overdose, and I hypothesize that this might be due to many cases being drug-related, yet not traditional overdose. And so I wanted to explore the 159 cases in the data set that were not coded as overdose in our gold standard. So while the predictive positive value was moderate. 43% of the cases included in the DAS dataset were not matched to the vital records, and that's because they were coded as missing on the key variable within the gold standard. So I think this is a big finding that we had, was a lot of the data in our state systems were missing on the key variable of drug poisoning, so we weren't able to capture them. Inspection of unmatched cases showed that while the free text did vary, the majority were either clearly labeled as intoxication by a drug known of abuse or seemed to be due to drug overdose over time. All but four had common drugs of abuse in their toxicology. So this finding might indicate that the coroner data has more cases of true drug overdose data, dose death data in it than the gold standard. However, the coroner data doesn't distinguish between overdose death and drug-related death. So many cases might be not sure drug overdose. In terms of the credible evidence, users report pretty high satisfaction with the coroner's data and their collaboration with the coroner. They say that it's unique, comprehensive, and invaluable for the work that they're doing. And they hope that the continued interest by the coroner will result in more epi analysis, particularly by our department in their collaboration with us. However, several changes are warranted in order to enhance the ability to do more complex analyses and monitor specific substance abuse deaths, really further specification of free text elements and entering specific substances contributing to the death into their system, and explication of their underlying assumptions in their coding algorithms, and increased inter-rater reliability on key variables like manner type and injury description. For example, for cases involving both prescription drugs and illicit drugs, like cocaine and oxycodone, they might be coded in the variable type, in the variable manner type as drug-related or medication drugs. And alternatively, cases involving only illicit drugs, like oxycodone, sometimes were coded as drug-related and sometimes coded as medication. Also, for case manner type, it might be listed as drug-related with a cause of death of multiple drug intoxication and an injury description of consumed prescription medications. This discrepant classification of prescription drugs is pretty common also in prevention circles in general. I think people have a lot of different operational definitions for what is a drug and what is medication. But similarly, our cause of death and injury description variables are also free text variables, leading to an indefinite number of descriptions. We had 143 different descriptions, and users noted that different medical examiners really vary in their specification, and some list all the drugs implicated in overdose, while a lot of them just write multiple drugs to see. I want to present just briefly on the heroin use in Clark County that we explored based on the interest by our coroner. So 11% of the overdoses were heroin-related, so 58 of them, and 78% had heroin in their cause of death, and 81% had toxicology with 6-monoacetylmorphine-free or 6-MAM-free. And only 59% of them included heroin as a contributing cause of death in the Nevada State Health vital records. The vast majority were accidental overdoses, compared to only 83% of cases that were accidental and non-heroin-related deaths. 3/4 of heroin-related deaths were among males, in comparison to only 57 for non-heroin-related deaths. And because Las Vegas is a major tourist destination, it's important for us to know the problems that are endemic among our residents versus among visitors. And while about 10% of non-heroin-related deaths occurred among visitors, 20% of heroin-related deaths were among visitors to our state. The race and ethnicity of drug overdoses are somewhat similar between heroin and non-heroin-related deaths, but only 3% of heroin-related deaths occurred among people that were age 60 or above, compared to 18% of non-heroin-related deaths in this age group. I want to offer just a few conclusionary remarks about this system. The coroner collects comprehensive and valuable data that aid in the surveillance of drug overdose deaths. The users are very happy with the work that's been done there. However, additional drug-related deaths not caused by overdose are also included in this data. Adding variables to capture a main drug class and the underlying contributing cause of death into their system specifically would be very useful for population-based analysis and also further operationalization of free text variables in the system, and increasing reliability between medical examiners. We would like to have more real-time drug overdose reporting capabilities and continue collaboration through monthly reports and analyzing trends like we did with the heroin trends. and also to develop a process to distinguish between pure overdose deaths and drug-related deaths, and also to make sure that we add a variable in their system that distinguishes between single and multiple drug overdoses, and operationalizing manner type, and also to create a code book for the data set in collaboration with the medical examiners to enhance their reliability. Reviewing the heroin-related deaths in our community showed us that while the patterns are similar in some respects to the rest of the U.S., some of the information was useful for us for intervention. For example, death by heroin is much more often to be accidental than other types of drugs, really underscoring the importance of correct implementation and utilization of the recently enacted bystander intervention laws. Additionally, heroin-related deaths are more common than would be expected in the visitor population, and so targeted policing and education are warranted in those areas frequented by non-residents. I really learned three lessons from this surveillance evaluation. Pretext fields are difficult to utilize for surveillance purposes, almost impossible, and the gold standard national data sets might have higher positive predictive value, but they might have lower sensitivity than our local data sets. And the coroner's office has a wealth of data to be utilized for mortality surveillance. I also learned to have a much stronger stomach than I thought after visiting the coroner's office multiple times. I presented the results from our evaluation to the forensic supervisor. He's also the chair of our state epidemiological work group for substance abuse, and he was pretty interested in what we found, and it was similar to some of the data that they had run themselves. And we confirmed the interest in monitoring trends in drugs in as close to real time as possible, so we're trying to work on a system to be able to look through some of those free text variables a little bit more and do some monthly reporting. I'm also trying to work internally at our department to identify all the different groups who are utilizing data from the coroner's office to make sure that we have more systematic requests for data and not to be overburdening our coroner's office, to make sure that we can continue to have them as a key partner. They also asked me to participate in their state EPI work group on substance abuse so I can have a little bit more of a voice in our state on these issues. Several interventions are in progress or have been proposed in our state and in our county. The work group does produce an annual, albeit pretty delayed, report on drug overdose deaths, and there is a prescription drug takebacks and a prescription drug monitoring program, although we're definitely not as aligned with them as the prior presenter discussed in their state. Importantly, though, our governor did just sign a bill establishing an opioid overdose prevention policy for Nevada, so I think that's going to have some good implications for us. And we're also considering replicating some interventions in other states, potentially doing some hotspot analysis and developing a drug overdose death review panel. And discussions are ongoing for an internal work group and will be vetted with our partners at the coroner's office. I think we're really lucky in Southern Nevada to have a coroner who is so interested in participating with us on this issue and believe that evaluation and utilization of data is key. I think if we're a little bit concerned that our coroner is retiring and things might change, so we're trying to do as much as we can to formulate that partnership and make sure that they see the benefit of the work that they're doing and the collaboration. So I'd like to take some questions and also to thank them for their participation.